we had a good start with our walkthrough this morning. Guys were really engaged in what we were trying to get accomplished. We think that'll be a great prelude to what we have to get done this afternoon. And we had good meetings last night. I think everybody understands what the expectations are and what we need to get accomplished here at Mankato. You know, our goal is to just continue to try to improve and build on the things that we did back in the spring through our OTAs, through the mandatory mini camp, through our strength and conditioning program, and just keep working to improve and bring this team together. And I think all our guys understand that, and we try to paint a plan as to how we're going to get to the point where we can be successful this season. We have a few guys that I mentioned to you yesterday. I thought that everyone was going to be able to practice this afternoon in our first practice at 3 p.m., but we had three guys who, when we checked them out in our physicals, are not going to be able to participate this afternoon. Adrian, we're going to go ahead and put him on the active PUP. We think that's the best thing to do for right now, and we'll continue to evaluate him daily, see how he's progressing, and at some point, the doctors and our head trainer, Eric Sugarman, will come to me and say, hey, we think he's ready to get involved in some of the team activities. But at this point, we want to go through some evaluation and just make a determination as to when is the right time to put him out there with his teammates. Mickey Shuler, he's going to be on the active NFI. He has a heel injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago that he's recovering from. We're going to do some activities with him this afternoon off to the side, and he'll be day-to-day as we try to determine when is the right time to put him back out there with his teammates. We don't think it's an overly serious injury, but we have to do some things with him, with our trainer, just to determine how severe that heel injury is. The x-rays that we took and the MRI were all negative. There were no issues there, but we want to be able to get past the pain so that we can get him involved. Stephen Burden, he's going to be on the active NFI. Has a toe injury, jammed his toe a week or so ago, and we're going to, you know, do the same thing with him. Take him through some activities on the side. Just try to make a determination when we can put him out there and let him get involved with what we're doing offensively. But in both Mickey and Stephen's case, we don't think these are going to be long-term absences. We think they're going to be out here in a short period of time, but we have to go through this period where we can evaluate them for ourselves and then make a determination. Other than that, everybody else should be practicing.
Adrian said he was going to fight to stay off that pup list. What was the conversation like with him?
Well, that he put up a fight. He did, knowing Adrian like you guys do. He wanted to make sure. He said, Coach, don't hold me back. You know, let me get out there. He wants to get out there, and but we got to be smart. You know, we need to see him do a few things and then make a determination. But he, if he had his way, he'd be getting involved today.
Coach, can you talk about why you switched the longer, more difficult practice to the afternoon, and if that was a tough decision, considering that would be the other way for years?
Right. When I looked at what we did a year ago under the new CBA, Joe, I just looked back and just felt like it would benefit us more to be able to have our full practice in the afternoon with the conditions that you usually get in the afternoon versus this morning. I mean, this was a cool morning, and I really wanted us to practice in a little warmer temperatures, and that's usually the case in the afternoon. I thought it would give us some consistency also from a practice standpoint. A year ago with the new CBA and the new rules, and finding out that we couldn't go back-to-back padded practices, you know, everyone was kind of trying to figure out what was the best way to practice under the new format. And after looking at it and evaluating the situation, myself and the staff really felt like 3 p.m. for us and having our walkthrough before our practice would give us the best chance to get the most out of our afternoon practice. So, for example, this morning we were able to walk through some of the concepts that we're going to ask to practice this afternoon. And then we'll go back and watch tape of that this evening. So we think it'll reinforce some of the things that we're teaching and give us a head start on the next day as well. So it's a combination of learning along with what we're trying to get done from a conditioning standpoint as well.
With a young guy like Stephen Burden, do you begin to get concerned that last year in camp was a hamstring? He gets elevated, hurts the knee, comes on the summer, catches pneumonia somehow, and now has the toe. I mean, it just always seems like it's something with him.
Well, you said it right. He's a young guy, so it's hard to draw conclusions at this point in his career. So we'll see how he progresses, and hopefully this toe will, you know, evolve and get better shortly. But it's too early to draw conclusions about whether or not this is going to be his history.
Jared Allen acknowledges he's running out of time to compete for a championship. He's obviously playing at a high level. How do you think he is going to be with a young team that, you know, you could say is rebuilding. How do you expect him to come off not only a career year, but to maintain that high level when, you know, he may not be playing for a championship right away?
Well, Jared, Brian, he's a pro. I mean, you've gotten a chance to get to know Jared over the last few years. I mean, he's going to give you great effort every snap in practice in the same way in games, and that's not going to change. And, you know, we're going to need his leadership with a young ball club like we will have. I mean, we're going to have some new starters, as I mentioned yesterday, but we'll count on his leadership in the midst of what we're trying to get done. He's not the only one that wants a championship. So does Kevin Williams. So does Antoine Winfield. So does everyone on our team. Everyone wants to win a championship. I don't expect Jared to have a sour attitude with the fact that he's going to have some young teammates. I don't foresee his play being affected by that. It's just not in his DNA at all. We'll expect him to go out and try to have a great season and help our football team win.
Khalil's working with the ones. Harrison Smith is with the twos. Is that just a matter of the fact that you don't have another left tackle, but you've got your two guys who ended last season as starters at safety?
No, we expect Matt to be our opening day starter. And, you know, that's why we have him working with the number ones. And, you know, we want him just to continue to progress and get better and be in some challenging situations and get a feel for being the number one left tackle. In Harrison's case, it's going to be some competition. We want him to compete and win that job. And we'll see how it plays out in the next few weeks.
Jared talked about how there's no distractions. How nice is that for you? Nice quiet opening the camp. Everyone's here.
It's great. You know, when we were going through the negotiations with Matt, that was the one player that, you know, weren't sure if things were going to work out. And once that was done, it's a loud shout for me. You know, I was thanking Rick and Rob Brzezinski, the guys that were working on this contract. And we needed everyone in that room last night to hear the message that we wanted to get across as a team, as opposed to getting it secondhand. So it's important to have everybody here and eliminate some of the drama that could be there when you don't have everybody here.
Les, first you talked about, you know, you kind of being a conduit between the organization and him and his, you know, relationship with you, helping him throughout this whole process. What is it about your relationship with him where you're able to relate to him or smooth that over?
I don't know if I can point to any one thing, Jeremy. I just know he's very important to our team. He's very important to me. I have a lot of respect for Percy as a person. From the day we drafted him, I can remember sitting down with his mom and dad, his sister, and Percy in a side room away from everyone else and just talking to them about how I envisioned his role here in Minnesota and our relationship in the future. And he was, you know, fresh out of college. It was his first day here, coming in for his press conference. And, you know, we've always had a good relationship. And hopefully that'll continue. He's an important person in a lot of ways. I respect him as a person and as a player. And obviously we need his talents on our football team.
What was Everson Griffin's reaction when you told him that he was going to end up taking more practice reps, at least, at linebacker?
You know, he really got excited about it to the point where, imagine this now, in the spring, we were a little concerned about his weight gain. He had gotten his weight up a little bit. We don't like for our defensive ends to be too heavy. We have a weight we think that our defensive ends play at and play best at. We also have a speed that we think that they play best at, fit what we try to do. He had gotten up to around, I think, 274 maybe, 276, and that's not the ideal weight for our defensive ends. And he can play at that weight. I mean, he's one of those guys who can carry some weight and not let it interfere with his play. But ideally, you know, we like for him to be in that 260, 265 range. And I talked to him about linebacker and where I thought he could really help us at and why I thought he could help us there. Not that he can't play defensive end. He's a very good defensive end. But you're always trying to get your best 11 on the field. And he's one of those guys who has enough athletic ability to be able to do that. He comes back to training camp and reports at yesterday, I think it was 258, which is incredible. But he's so motivated to play the position and play it well that he goes home and he loses, what, close to 18 pounds to come back and be ready to play the linebacker position. And that's just a testament to how motivated he is to do well and play well and really adhere to what the coaches are looking for and what his teammates expect of him. And He's an outstanding athlete, was a great special teams player for us a year ago, played in multiple situations for us a year ago at linebacker and then at defensive end. And so with his athletic ability, we want to try to find a way to get him on the field a little bit more.
Is he a guy that you sort of approach, like you talked about in the past with Joe Webb, you want him to concentrate on quarterback. Do you want Griffin to concentrate just on linebacker at this point?
I do. I want him to show us that he can't play that position. You know, we feel like we've got two outstanding starters at defensive end. He was our third defensive end, but we want him to show us that he's not a linebacker.
Yes. I can't believe it. You guys brought in John Carlson this year, and what role do you expect him to play, and how do you see he and Kyle Rudolph and the tight ends just in general working?
Well, we feel good about our tight end position. We think that John is going to be a great addition for us. He's an accomplished guy in our league. We are hoping that he's going to be over the injury bug. We think that's going to be the case. He's been very productive. Kyle, of course, we have high hopes for. You know, we really think he's going to be a premier tight end in our league. And with that tandem alone, we think it gives us a chance to have some options for our young quarterback, including what we're going to try to do outside. But we want Christian to be able to have an outlet, and he's developed a rapport with Kyle, and I think he'll do the same thing with John. But it gives us a couple bookend tight ends that can create pressure on defenses, both in the pass game as well as in run blocking.
Two tight ends, I mean, what can you do with that in an offense? I mean, what does that mean for opposing defense?
Well, when you see the evolution of the position in our league, you don't have to look any further than New England and some of the teams that we play in our division and how they use tight ends. That position has dramatically changed. I mean, they have become almost another wide receiver with so many teams today. So that position has evolved to the point where you have to pay attention to the tight ends. And if you get a couple of quality guys like we think we have, it creates some mismatches for defenses, you know, trying to match up with linebackers and safeties. And all of a sudden, they've got to put personnel on the field that doesn't fit, and it creates problems for defense. And we're trying to get that, and we think we have a couple guys who can give us some options at that position. And we like Rhett Ellison and some of the other guys that we brought in as well. Mickey Shula's going to be a good tight end for us. We think, you know, Allen Reisner has a chance to compete as well.
How long do you let the right guard competition go on before you need to establish five guys up front?
Well, you know, you like to get it done as soon as possible where you could identify the guy, but part of why we're going to be here during the period that we're here for the next 3 weeks is to identify that the right guy at that right guard position. But if you had your druthers, you'd like to know by the time we play San Diego in the third preseason game, I think it's San Diego, that you've identified that guy. That may not be the case, but that would be ideal, that we know by the time we line up against San Diego in that third preseason game, this is going to be our starting right tackle when we line up against Jacksonville, right guard when we line up against Jacksonville.
Just Fusco and Schwartz, or do you consider some of those other guys, you know, getting the same look that they'll get?
Well, we'll put Chris DeGear in the mix as well. We'll give him a chance and let those guys compete and battle it out, and, you know, hopefully we'll be a better team, whichever one ends up winning the job.
Childs missed a lot of time in the offseason with that. I think it was a calf strain from rookie camp. Was he ever fully turned loose through the offseason, and is he fully turned loose now?
We think he's 100% now. So we're looking forward to watching him practice this afternoon and continue to grow as a player. He missed a lot of time, as you mentioned. We had a good start with our walkthrough this morning. Guys were really engaged in what we were trying to get accomplished. We think that'll be a great prelude to what we have to get done this afternoon. And we had good meetings last night. I think everybody understands what the expectations are and what we need to get accomplished here at Mankato. You know, our goal is to just continue to try to improve and build on the things that we did back in the spring through our OTAs, through the mandatory mini camp, through our strength and conditioning program, and just keep working to improve and bring this team together. And I think all our guys understand that, and we try to paint a plan as to how we're going to get to the point where we can be successful this season. We have a few guys that I mentioned to you yesterday. I thought that everyone was going to be able to practice this afternoon in our first practice at 3 p.m., but we had three guys who, when we checked them out in our physicals, are not going to be able to participate this afternoon. Adrian, we're going to go ahead and put him on the active PUP. We think that's the best thing to do for right now, and we'll continue to evaluate him daily, see how he's progressing. And at some point, the doctors and our head trainer, Eric Sugarman, will come to me and say, hey, we think he's ready to get involved in some of the team activities. But at this point, we want to go through some evaluation and just make a determination as to when is the right time to put him out there with his teammates. Mickey Schuler, he's going to be on the active NFI. He has a heel injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago that he's recovering from. We're going to do some activities with him this afternoon off to the side, and he'll be day-to-day as we try to determine when is the right time to put him back out there with his teammates. We don't think it's an overly serious injury, but we have to do some things with him, with our trainer, just to determine how severe that heel injury is. The x-rays that we took and the MRI were all negative. There were no issues there, but we want to be able to get past the pain so that we can get him involved. Stephen Burden, he's going to be on the active NFI. Has a toe injury, jammed his toe a week or so ago, and we're going to, you know, do the same thing with him. Take him through some activities to the, on the side. Just try to make a determination when we can put him out there and let him get involved with what we're doing offensively. But in both Mickey and Stephen's case, we don't think these are going to be long-term absences. We think they're going to be out here in a short period of time, but we have to go through this period where we can evaluate them for ourselves and then make a determination. Other than that, everybody else should be practicing.
Adrian said he was going to fight to stay off that pup list. What was the conversation like with him?
Well, that he put up a fight. He did, knowing Adrian like you guys do. He wanted to make sure. He said, Coach, don't hold me back. You know, let me get out there. He wants to get out there, and but we got to be smart. You know, we need to see him do a few things and then make a determination. But he, if he had his way, he'd be getting involved today.
Coach, can you talk about why you switched to longer, more difficult practice to the afternoon, and if that was a tough decision, considering that it'd be the other way for years?
Right. When I looked at what we did a year ago under the new CBA, Joe, I just looked back and just felt like it would benefit us more to be able to have our full practice in the afternoon with the conditions that you usually get in the afternoon versus this morning. I mean, this was a cool morning, and I really wanted us to practice in a little warmer temperatures, and that's usually the case in the afternoon. I thought it would give us some consistency also from a practice standpoint. A year ago with the new CBA and the new rules, and finding out that we couldn't go back-to-back padded practices, you know, everyone was kind of trying to figure out what was the best way to practice under the new format. And after looking at it and evaluating the situation, myself and the staff really felt like 3 p.m. for us and having our walkthrough before our practice would give us the best chance to get the most out of our afternoon practice. So, for example, this morning we were able to walk through some of the concepts that we're going to ask to practice this afternoon. And then we'll go back and watch tape of that this evening. So we think it'll reinforce some of the things that we're teaching and give us a head start on the next day as well. So it's a combination of learning along with what we're trying to get done from a conditioning standpoint as well.
With a young guy like Stephen Burden, do you begin to get concerned that last year in camp was a hamstring? He gets elevated, hurts the knee, comes on the summer, catches pneumonia somehow, and now has the toe. I mean, it just always seems like it's something with him.
Well, you said it right. He's a young guy, so it's hard to draw conclusions at this point in his career. So we'll see how he progresses, and hopefully this toe will, you know, evolve and get better shortly. But it's too early to draw conclusions about whether or not this is going to be his history.
Jared Allen acknowledges he's running out of time to compete for a championship. He's obviously playing at a high level. How do you think he is going to be with a young team that, you know, you could say is rebuilding? How do you expect him to come off not only a career year, but to maintain that high level when, you know, he may not be playing for a championship right away?
Well, Jared, Brian, he's a pro. I mean, you've gotten a chance to get to know Jared over the last few years. I mean, he's going to give you great effort every snap in practice in the same way in games, and that's not going to change. And, you know, we're going to need his leadership with a young ball club like we will have. I mean, we're going to have some new starters, as I mentioned yesterday, but we'll count on his leadership in the midst of what we're trying to get done. He's not the only one that wants a championship. So does Kevin Williams. So does Antoine Winfield. So does everyone on our team. Everyone wants to win a championship. But I don't expect Jared to have a sour attitude with the fact that he's going to have some young teammates. I don't foresee his play being affected by that. Just not in his DNA at all. We'll expect him to go out and try to have a great season and help our football team win.
Khalil's working with the ones. Harrison Smith is with the twos. Is that just a matter of the fact that you don't have another left tackle, but you've got your two guys who ended last season as starters at safety?
No, we expect Matt to be our opening day starter. And, you know, that's why we have him working with the number ones. And, you know, we want him just to continue to progress and get better and be in some challenging situations and get a feel for being the number one left tackle. In Harrison's case, it's going to be some competition. We want him to compete and win that job, and we'll see how it plays out in the next few weeks.
Jared talked about how there's no distractions. How nice is that for you? Nice quiet opening to camp. Everyone's here.
It's great. You know, when we were going through the negotiations with Matt, that was the one player that, you know, weren't sure if things were going to work out. And once that was done, it's a loud shout for me. You know, I was thanking Rick and Rob Brzezinski, the guys that were working on this contract, and we needed everyone in that room last night to hear the message that we wanted to get across as a team, as opposed to getting it secondhand. So it's important to have everybody here and eliminate some of the drama that could be there when you don't have everybody here.
Les, first you talked about, you know, you kind of being a conduit between the organization and him and his, you know, relationship with you, helping him throughout this whole process. What is it about your relationship with him where you're able to relate to him or smooth that over?
I don't know if I can point to any one thing, Jeremy. I just know he's very important to our team. He's very important to me. I have a lot of respect for Percy as a person. From the day we drafted him, I can remember sitting down with his mom and dad, his sister, and Percy in a side room away from everyone else and just talking to them about how I envisioned his role here in Minnesota and our relationship in the future. And he was, you know, fresh out of college. It was his first day here, coming in for his press conference. And, you know, we've always had a good relationship, and hopefully that'll continue. He's an important person in a lot of ways. I respect him as a person and as a player, and obviously we need his talents on our football team.
What was Everson Griffin's reaction when you told him that he was going to end up taking more practice reps, at least at linebacker?
You know, he really got excited about it, to the point where, imagine this now, in the spring, we were a little concerned about his weight gain. He had gotten his weight up a little bit. We don't like for our defensive ends to be too heavy. We have a weight we think that our defensive ends play at and play best at. We also have a speed that we think that they play best at, fit what we try to do. He had gotten up to around, I think, 274, maybe 276, and that's not the ideal weight for our defensive ends. And he can play at that weight. I mean, he's one of those guys who can carry some weight and not let it interfere with his play. But ideally, you know, we like for him to be in that 260, 265 range. And I talked to him about linebacker and where I thought he could really help us at and why I thought he could help us there. Not that he can't play defensive end. He's a very good defensive end. But you're always trying to get your best 11 on the field. And he's one of those guys who has enough athletic ability to be able to do that. He comes back to training camp and reports at yesterday, I think it was 258, which is incredible. But he's so motivated to play the position and play it well that he goes home and he loses, what, close to 18 pounds to come back and be ready to play the linebacker position. And that's just a testament to how motivated he is to do well and play well and really adhere to what the coaches are looking for and what his teammates expect of him. And he's an outstanding athlete, was a great special teams player for us a year ago, played in multiple situations for us a year ago at linebacker and then at defensive end. And so with his athletic ability, we want to try to find a way to get him on the field a little bit more.
Is he a guy that you sort of approach, like you talked about in the past with Joe Webb, you want him to concentrate on quarterback. Do you want Griffin to concentrate just on linebacker at this point?
I do. I want him to show us that he can't play that position. You know, we feel like we've got two outstanding starters at defensive end. He was our third defensive end, but we want him to show us that he's not a linebacker.
I can't believe it.
You guys brought in John Carlson this year, and what role do you expect him to play, and how do you see he and Kyle Rudolph and the tight ends just in general working?
Well, we feel good about our tight end position. We think that John is going to be a great addition for us. He's an accomplished guy in our league. We are hoping that he's going to be over the injury bug. We think that's going to be the case. He's been very productive. Kyle, of course, we have high hopes for. You know, we really think he's going to be a premier tight end in our league. And with that tandem alone, we think it gives us a chance to have some options for our young quarterback, including what we're going to try to do outside. But we want Christian to be able to have an outlet. And he's developed a rapport with Kyle, and I think he'll do the same thing with John. But it gives us a couple bookend tight ends that can create pressure on defenses, both in the pass game as well as in run blocking.
Two tight ends, I mean, what can you do with that in an offense? I mean, what does that mean for opposing defenses when you have two tight ends?
Well, when you see the evolution of the position in our league, you don't have to look any further than New England and some of the teams that we play in our division and how they use tight ends. That position has dramatically changed. I mean, they have become almost another wide receiver with so many teams today. So that position has evolved to the point where you have to pay attention to the tight ends, and if you get a couple of quality guys like we think we have, it creates some mismatches for defenses, you know, trying to match up with linebackers and safeties, and all of a sudden they've got to put personnel on the field that doesn't fit, and it creates problems for defense, and we're trying to get that, and we think we have a couple guys who can give us some options at that position. And we like Rhett Ellison and some of the other guys that we brought in as well. Mika Shula is going to be a good tight end for us. We think, you know, Allen Reisner has a chance to compete as well.
How long do you let the right guard competition go on before you need to establish five guys up front?
Well, you know, you like to get it done as soon as possible where you could identify the guy, but part of why we're going to be here during the period that we're here for the next 3 weeks is to identify that the right guy at that right guard position. But if you had your druthers, you'd like to know by the time we play San Diego in the third preseason game, I think it's San Diego, that you've identified that guy. That may not be the case, but that would be ideal, that we know by the time we line up against San Diego in that third preseason game, this is going to be our starting right tackle when we line up against Jacksonville, right guard when we line up against Jacksonville.
Just Fusco and Schwartz, or do you consider some of those other guys, you know, getting the same look that they'll get?
Well, we'll put Chris DeGear in the mix as well. We'll give him a chance and let those guys compete and battle it out, and you know, hopefully we'll be a better team, whichever one ends up winning the job.
Childs missed a lot of time in the offseason with that. I think it was a calf strain from rookie camp. Was he ever fully turned loose through the offseason, and is he fully turned loose now?
We think he's 100% now. So we're looking forward to watching him practice this afternoon and continuing to grow as a player. He missed a lot of time, as you mentioned.